knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones guy.
Oh, indeed we are. Mr. Friesen?
Mr. Holmes.
Mr. Friesen?
Mr. Holmes.
What's your bright spot today?
My bright spot today is granola, baby.
Ooh, what's that say?
This is Love Crunch.
Love Crunch.
Found it at the store. This is an espresso vanilla cream granola.
Balls.
Oh,
the
my
balls
God.
Balls you have to name your business Love Crunch.
Jordan, this is so good. It's inspired by the Italian affogato, which is made with espresso and ice cream.
Oh, okay.
It's very good. It's nice. I had like this period. I think I talked about it in some previous bright spots. Where I was going for these bizarre-ass cereals, you know, like the Fruity Pebbles with marshmallows.
Oh, yes. We the Dunkin' Donuts.
Donuts
ones. Yeah, that's going to happen, yeah.
And I'm trying to get back onto a more, like, all right, I've indulged my inner child a little bit here.
Sure, sure.
And even this, I'll admit, this is, I mean, it's an espresso vanilla cream situation. So it's not like it's the hardest core granola.
Sure.
But I'm working in that direction. I feel like my breakfasts could be better served.
I'm glad it's based on an Italian something as opposed to... Like,
affogato!
Because it sounds a little bit like a song a hair metal band would have released in the 80s.
You know, like Love Crunch!
Like, I love my love crunch!
Isn't that Nazareth? You know, Love Hurts?
Could be. Yeah. Something along those lines.
So what's your bright spot?
Oh, my bright spot, Dan. I'm assuming some people have found out by now. We were in the New York Times. Yeah. How fun is that? That's nice.
It's super bizarre.
That's fun.
If I hadn't like been aware that this was coming, I would be like, "This is I can't."
It's
very bizarre.
No, this
very
is
bizarre. Thank
it's
you.
It's fun.
To,
it's fun. It's silly. Yeah. All right.
So Jordan, today we have an interesting episode to go over. We're going to be talking about April 16th, 2021, Blackjack.
Ah, shit.
This is Friday's episode of Alex's show.
Okay,
and you know, it's not great. It's not.
Wow.
It may not be the most groundbreaking of episodes.
Sure.
But there are a couple things that happen that are breathtaking.
Okay.
That are amazing.
All right.
And good teachable moments. So.
Okay, good.
We'll get down to business on that here in a second. But before we do, let's take a little moment to say thank you to some folks who have signed up and are supporting the show.
Oh, that's great.
So first, the Reverend Dr. Sorrow. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, RDS.
Thank you. Next, 1776 was a false flag. The British are the globalists. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much. Thought provoking.
I think Alex might agree with half of that.
I think he might have said that.
Yeah.
Borderline, yeah.
And a couple of technocrat shout-outs to throw out. William V. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat. And Thomas C. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large. I declare info war on you.
Thank you, Willie, and thank you, Tomas.
Yes, thank you very much to the both of you.
So, Jordan, I had to cut the wonk shout-outs a little bit short on this episode because we have another little bit of business that we have to get to.
Well, of course.
It's very important.
Of course.
And that is that tomorrow, Tuesday, is 420.
Right.
And that means that it is the official end of the year of the seltzer.
That's true. It is the official end of the year of the seltzer. Where did we wind up? You got 350. Right?
Yeah, right around 350.
That's great!
For people who maybe have found the podcast more recently, last year, around 420...
You've got lore to catch up on.
I decided that I was going to drink 500 seltzers in that year.
Yeah.
It was kind of something just to put a smile on our face, because
sure.
You know, it seemed like there was going to be this period where there was the you know, COVID.
Naturally.
I didn't think it was going to go as long as it did.
I did not either.
I just kind of thought, like, yeah, this will be a way to kill some time. I'll drink a bunch of LaCroix and all these weird flavors of things. And look, a year's too long for a novelty goof.
It was very much an emotional roller coaster ride, because it started off as a goof. Mm-hmm. Then a few weeks later,
it started off as a goof with a lot of energy behind
it. That's true. A few weeks later, what I'm saying is you got into it.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it started being a lot of seltzers just popping up all over the place. Yeah. And then what was it? Probably about six months ago.
I got a hot tip on a seltzer.
Exactly.
We gotta go to the south side to find it.
Yeah. It's about 6 months ago that your enthusiasm dropped down.
And then
there's a little bounce back. It was like the stock market. Yeah. You know, it dropped far, there's a little bounce back, and then it's gone.
Well, I can say that a big part of it is the the difficulties involved with COVID. And then some personal life stuff kind of disenchanted me a lot over a period of months.
Right.
And
a year is too
long.
Look,
a lot of seltzers are not very different.
Yeah, I think you could make it to a year and 500 if you were on like a Japanese game show where you had to live in a place where there's nothing but seltzers for a year.
If someone brought me all of the seltzers and I was like sipping, they're like, oh, 50, who gives a shit? Like,
yeah.
In those circumstances, I definitely could have tried 50, but after you try so many, it's like, I don't know, this is fine.
Yeah.
It sucks, but it's not that bad.
It's not
great. You really lose the enthusiasm to like hunt down new seltzers. And once you've already had everything that's at every store within a couple miles of your house.
Right.
And you can't find anything else on Amazon or, it just becomes a real it was a stupid idea from the beginning.
No, but all of our ideas are somewhat stupid.
Yeah, and I'm glad.
And that was a good one.
I tried. I learned a few things. One is the wide, wide world of these seltzers. There's so many.
Sure.
And the ones that are more tea-like are better, I think. I enjoy them more. They have more depth of flavor. Hooray. And in honor of ending the year of the seltzer.
Yes, sir.
I'm ending it with my novelty beverage for today, which is listener Amani sent some Sunwink Sparkle herbal tonics.
Okay.
And I've tried the one that is, I believe, turmeric related.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was all right. It's got a little spice to
it. Is it turmeric or turmeric?
I think it's pronounced turmeric, but there is an R in there.
That infuriates me.
Yeah, it might be a silent R.
We can continue.
So this is Sunwink Lemon Rose Uplift.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like now's a good time for some uplifting.
Yeah, no. Lemon Rose, taking a sip. I noticed you playing around with that bottle before the show, and normally you have a bit of an energy drink going on there. And how did you do?
It was really good.
It was really good?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's very tea-like. It's reminiscent of those ones that had flour.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, I guess rose is
a flour. Well, that would make sense.
Yeah, good.
Those were real good.
Yeah. So thank you, Amani, and thank you, everybody, who has enjoyed the year of the seltzer. I don't know if I'm going to do a year of anything else ever again.
I doubt it.
I learned a valuable lesson.
There's definitely that.
It's humiliating.
Think of it, you got to around 350 seltzers. If you had set your goal for 300 seltzers, you wouldn't have made 350.
500 was such an attractive number, though.
It's a nice round number.
Yeah, I mean, look, I achieved something.
Indeed.
Maybe?
Probably.
Meh.
Let the viewer decide.
Sure. Anyway, Jordan, today, April 16th.
Indeed.
Ides of March.
I'm still writing June on my checks.
So here we go. We're going to start off with Alex talking about some headlines. And then getting into something that is very bad news for for us, as we are the tech guys.
Indeed.
Now, they denied all of this in mainline publications until a few years ago, and now they run the same headline every week. For the first time, animal-human clones have been made. And that's always it's in the test tube, it's embryonic, and that's just a condition. The CIA was quoted in the Washington Post back in 1999 that, oh, we're funding the body modification and tattoo and earring movement. Doesn't mean it's bad or good or anything.
All the things you said.
To get you ready for implantable chips. I mean, this is all actually in different publications. They admit all of this.
Yep. The CIA encouraged everyone to get earrings and tattoos.
It's really weird for the CIA to finally start admitting stuff and choose the stuff that I guess would take them down the most.
Yeah.
But, what are you going to do?
I don't know about this. The latest news in the animal-human hybrid front is that there was an article published in the journal Cell where researchers injected human stem cells into monkey embryos, which then they observed growing. Three of the embryos survived up to 19 days, but they didn't create clones or anything
Alex
is saying.
Yeah.
This is a field of study, but it's not what Alex is describing. And the scientific community is far from reaching a consensus on it. There are tons of debates that go on about the ethics or even the need for such research. And, you know, you can find people who have informed opinions on both sides.
Sure.
Alex is not one of them.
Yeah, but, you know, once I saw that you could transfer the bioluminescence trait to another creature, I was like, well, get rid of all other research until I can glow in the dark. All science should
stop.
Until everything can glow in the dark.
My buddy, Dr. Gums, used to get furious with me because I would constantly demand for him to explain to me why we can't photosynthesize. Like, why can't we get a human that has photosynthesis?
I would like to know that. Yeah. I feel like we should.
I really think he had a compelling, full answer, and I was too high to remember what it was.
Of course.
I don't remember.
Considering you've heard it many times, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this story, you know, the whole thing about the human-animal hybrids and stuff.
Sure.
This is something that people like to take as an example of actually, Alex, he's right all along, man.
Sure.
But the important thing to remember is that his version of the this research, it doesn't match what actually exists. The stories that he tells are different than reality.
Just remember, we were talking about fish-human hybrids in tanks with sad human eyes.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff that Alex talks about.
Yeah.
And he claims that he's seen them.
He's
been to the tanks.
We're not talking about injecting embryos. We're talking about full-grown fish men wandering around our seas.
Yeah. It's very attractive for people to take headlines and then, like, sort of out-of-context snippets of things Alex said. And he's been right all along. It's not really accurate.
Yeah.
It's a fun game, though, and I applaud people for playing it. So, you know, if you want to be someone who plays this game that Alex is right about everything, I have bad news. We will all be dead soon.
Oh, no.
There is a scientific global dictatorship that is breaking away from humanity, and that as it breaks away, it extracts all the resources of the old civilization, poisons us, dumbs us down, divides us, and conquers us. Puts us back into the jungle, but the urban jungle.
Welcome to the jungle.
And wipes us out.
We've got fun and games.
And by the time that they finally wipe everybody out, which is coming very soon, in a cascade of crises they orchestrate but pose as the saviors, those of us that haven't joined them, it'll be very hard pressed for us to survive without joining them. And those of us that haven't joined them, will still only survive because the globalists killed everybody. So we're not on their side. But
wait, what?
If you're able to make the right moves and be prepared, you might be able to survive and not join them. But I think God isn't going to like that. God doesn't like cowards. So I think instead of just surviving, we have to stop this thing from happening.
This is very weird.
Well, I mean, it seems strange for him to say that God wouldn't like that, considering the most popular Christian book series ever written was about the small number of survivors who made it through the evil apocalypse.
Yeah, that was globalist shit, though, man.
Okay, well, that's fair.
Kirk Cameron's a globalist.
My bad. Yeah. My bad. Nope, I fucked it up.
It's an interesting version of Alex's fear narratives.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, so the kill-off event is about to happen very soon.
Naturally.
Because the globalists are taking over and blah, blah, blah.
Any moment now.
So it's coming up almost immediately, and you are probably going to die. But if you make the right moves, there's a way that you can survive. Now, some of the right moves that are the wrong moves are joining with the globalists.
Of course.
That's bad. But you could survive if you did that.
Even though, why would you, since everybody you've ever known and cared for is dead?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
But you cannot join the globalists and still survive if you get really lucky and do all the right moves, but God will be mad.
You're going to hell.
God's going to be mad.
So you can die in the apocalypse, or you can survive it for a little while with no one you've ever met, but either way, you're going to hell.
But I guess that this implies that there is a third fifth option, and that is fighting to stop
stopping it. Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. The globalists have a plan B. Alex has already explained that.
Yeah, it doesn't,
matter.
It doesn't seem to be a good fight at this point.
No, this is really dumb. So, you know, I think that there are jobs in the world that have more staying power for people, you know, like, you know, if you're
careers,
if you're in a career that takes a long time to master, let's say maybe there's a lower turnover, you know, than some unskilled professions maybe have higher turnover rates.
comedian, high turnover rate.
Quite.
Very
although
high turnover
should
rate.
Be higher.
Much, much higher.
What do you think about the high-ranking globalist?
What's their turnover rate?
Yeah, what do you think about
oh,
that?
Oh, my God. It has to be... Here's what I think. I think it's got to be, like, the Politburo level of,
it's
like...
It's got to be zero.
Backstabbing... No. Backstabbing, murder, all the time.
You're wrong.
And I can tell you, the globalists have major turnover with their higher-level people. Because they really understand, even once they have all the money and the power, that it's empty. And if they haven't totally turned their souls over...
They get to keep all the money and power?
They then turn against it. But then those people don't have a voice. They get shut down or they get killed.
Oh, okay. That's convenient.
So
the globalists and the high-ranking levels, constantly have crises.
Wow.
Right. They have crises of conscience and realize, nah, fuck this noise. Alex is right. So they quit, but then they get killed. So what are you going to do?
Hey, it's as everybody knows from watching our government function, obviously the people who run the world have consciences that they bend to at all times.
I don't know if I can think of any examples of anybody that Alex has ever discussed who was a high-ranking globalist
right.
who turned on the globalists and
who
then got
then
killed.
Was killed.
Although, again, it's a fun story.
It is a fun story. So,
and it does explain why there aren't defectors
right.
of the globalists.
Sure, they're dead.
Yeah. Except for, I guess, Leo Zagami, which maybe he should be dead.
Right.
If this makes sense.
I don't know. Mike Lindell got rich and powerful, so he's probably turned against the globalists. I bet he was a high-ranking globalist. For a while. He had to have been, right?
I don't know.
Otherwise, you can't get money and power. His point is, you can only get money and power if you join with the globalists, or if you sell supplements.
Or pillows.
Yeah.
I don't think Mike Lindell's with the globalists.
I doubt it.
No.
No.
He the topic of Alex's employee who got arrested at the Capitol does come back up
okay.
a little bit.
Okay.
The MyPillow storyline is not brought back
up. No longer brought up about him. Yeah.
It might still be there, but it's not front and center.
Okay.
So here's the thing. These globalists who have high turnover rates and then end up having to kill their former employees.
Sure.
They're only going to kill you if certain conditions are met.
That's nice.
You know, if you've ever worked for the New World Order, and never signed the contracts with them and never actually run their operations, then they will kill you if you sidestep them or don't follow their orders or ever try to leave them. But if you've never sold out to them, it's metaphysical rules, they'll just try to get other people to kill you, but they won't give the order themselves, or they will try to kill your name or discredit you or put you in prison. But they don't often kill you unless you've been involved with them and made some deal with them at some level. And that's why I've never made any deals with these guys.
That's a protective instinct on his part. So, yeah, you got to make deals or else there's going to be some kind of an infringing of metaphysical rules that sound really dumb.
I have a lot of problems with this.
Yeah. If the metaphysical rules that govern the universe are so dumb
right.
that you can ethically sidestep murder by, like, convincing somebody else to kill somebody
yeah.
and then you have a totally clean slate.
Yeah.
I don't think that these rules are good. I think that they're ungrounded.
Give me a second. Are you telling me that Mark Richards is innocent of all crimes?
He didn't do
according
anything.
To the metaphysical rules
according
of the universe?
The metaphysical rules of the universe.
I think there might be a flaw in this metaphysical rule.
You bet.
Yeah, I think there could be.
Yep. I don't know what I feel about this other than like any time he brings up these metaphysical rule ideas, I want to know more. I want him to actually get into the ethical
totally.
Underpinnings of this
yeah.
and like really break down what must be true within
yeah.
this ethical system.
Oh, no. If he were capable, the one thing that I want from him is a full accounting of his metaphysics
yeah.
beliefs.
It's just
brought
out.
I want a book.
It's just brought out whenever things are convenient.
Yeah, I want a book of him, like, codifying. I want Alex Jones's version of the Bible. That's what I want.
I don't.
Oh, wow, that's fair.
I definitely don't.
That's fair.
It's all caps. So Alex has all these ideas about how the news about human-animal hybrids and stuff, it's not what they're saying.
Of course
not. That there were human stem cells and embryos
no.
and whatever.
Fish people,
no.
Fish people in the oceans.
technology is 50 years ahead of where it actually is, all this stuff. Yep. And you know what? You know who thinks they know what's up but don't?
The globalists?
Fucking military intelligence.
Oh, those idiots.
People talk about army intelligence or the military intelligence. They don't know any of this.
It's an oxymoron, am I right?
This Q stuff at the highest level is military intelligence. That's totally compartmentalized to archaic weapons. Atomic weapons are 120 years old. They had all the equations 120 plus years ago. That's all Tinker Toy stuff. That's being phased out. They're getting rid of the human military. By 2030, there really won't be very many humans left in the military. And they have all these Hollywood movies about super soldiers, these really cool, badass guys. And you know, like the new movie, Nobody, you know, he's so tough. None of that exists. It's all gone. It's all over. It's all robots. It's all clones.
It's all robots and clones in the future.
It's all robots and clones in the future.
Fun.
All right. So I guess he saw Bob Odenkirk in Nobody.
Yeah.
So that's nice. It's a good movie.
I bet it is.
It's a good movie.
I think Bob Odenkirk has a lot of range that's been unexplored, and I'm excited for him.
He's incredibly great.
I think, you know, it's kind of an interesting dilemma, because you do see the possibility of a future where a lot of warfare is done by way of robots.
Sure, of course.
You know, drones certainly are a big problem.
Yeah, we're already there now, to a smaller extent.
But
yeah.
If things escalate towards the point where, like, actual troops are robots,
right,
then eventually you're going to get into a point where a negotiation between countries that is robots fighting robots is really just a financial thing.
Totally.
It's like, I'm destroying more of your property, which is robots.
Yeah. No, it's...
and then it almost has a potential to be like, well, we could negotiate through this easier than fighting... So I don't know. I haven't fully thought it through, but it's an interesting thing with it that almost seems like it would lead to a vast reduction in war.
Well, I mean, I think there have been a lot of really interesting, because that's something that I've read about. You know, that's one of those things that futurists have been describing since, you know, Kurt Vonnegut, you know, like that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of people who are like, war doesn't mean anything if there aren't people dying. So you can't really do it. You know, it'd be like a video game at that point. You know, it's just like, are you better at video games? I have 100 more robots than you, so mathematically I win before we even fight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I guess it doesn't relate to like robot drones and stuff like bombing apartment buildings or something.
Exactly.
You know, like it doesn't relate to that, my thought. There's still a devastating human toll
associated
with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the clones part.
What would clones be doing in this scenario?
I don't know. Have you seen the prequels? The Star Wars prequels?
I mean, but ultimately clones are not as good in war. You know,
like a massive investment if you're going to use them for warfare.
No, it's like, look, but here's the thing. If you're building robots, you know, we're not thinking about AT-ATs because those are stupid. They're giant lumbering moron machines.
I have bad news. I am thinking about AT-ATs.
Quick mobility, all of these things. Human beings don't stand a chance against
those terrifying things you see videos of every now and again.
Yeah. Yep.
So, Alex has some complaints about the Pope.
Sure.
Pope Francis goes full communist, says sharing prosperity is not communism, but pure Christianity. But they're going to direct how you share. And, of course, all the big bankers pay no tax, but they'll lecture you all day.
No idea what the bankers have to do with the Pope's opinions.
I mean, I guess they don't pay taxes at the Vatican either.
Also, I have great news for Alex.
What's that?
The Pope was arrested a year ago.
He was. He's been gone for a while.
Yeah.
This is the fake Pope that Alex is complaining about now.
Yeah. Don't worry about what this Pope is saying.
Yeah, this is a puppet.
Francis is behind jail bars.
Naturally.
So Alex gets to talk in here a little bit about the old COVID vaccine.
Sure.
And I think he says something that I find flagrantly irresponsible.
You've got all these countries that have stopped the Pfizer shot, all these companies that have stopped the AstraZeneca, all these ones that have stopped J&J. You've got all these deaths, not one death. Look, one woman died. You actually go look at the reporting system. It's like 3,000 here, 2,000 there, 5,000 there. They estimate between 1 in 10 and 1 in 100. They're not sure. It varies country to country, are actually reporting the deaths as COVID. But it is COVID vaccine killing them.
This is a gigantic unsupported claim that Alex is making.
Yeah.
If he has some kind of evidence that the COVID vaccines are responsible for a high number of deaths that are being called COVID-19 deaths, then he can't just assert it and wave his hand to some vague, unspecified statistics that varies from country to country.
Yeah.
He knows that he can't back this claim up, which is why even what he's saying is a meaningless nonsense assertion. The difference between 1 in 10 and 1 in 100 is huge. Like, that's an irresponsible spectrum to be pointing to.
It might be a little bit.
Anyway, I'm going to need to see the sources on this. And until I do, I'm going to go out on a limb and assume it's his dumb imagination, yeah. As usual.
It's either 10 or 1,000% more. No idea which. Could be anything, honestly.
So on our last episode, we got a meeting of the minds between Alex and Fresh... A hot-on-the-scene comedian, Norm Pattis.
Totally.
Lawyer.
He's finally breaking out of this law game to pursue his real passion of stand-up comedy.
Yep. He's even going to be able to be the funniest lawyer, because that's... Every comedy scene already has that.
We've already got a funniest lawyer in Chicago, at least. Yeah.
So, not to be outdone by the shitheadery of Norm coming on.
Yeah.
Alex's
other
lawyer buddy, Barnes, is going to be on this episode.
Oh, yeah. You can't have Pattis on without Barnes being like, you got to book me soon.
Yeah, so he's got to come on, and this is where Alex teases that they're going to talk about how the Chauvin trial is nonsense.
Oh, no!
Coming up today, Robert Barnes is going to be looking at the insane Chauvin trial up in Minnesota and when he thinks that's going to end. And no doubt every major city is going to be lit up like a Christmas tree. And they're not the type you put cookies and milk out for Santa for. It's going to be lit up with fire. Mm. And why are the communists doing this? It's part of the takeover of the police. They're not getting rid of the police. They are bullying them. Using any bad event that happens. Oh, my God, we've had 3 days of riots, and a guy, an armed robbery suspect for robbing a woman, waving guns around everywhere, is then attacking the police, and in the melee, the cop pulls the wrong weapon and shoots him. What do you think happens when you go into riots and high-speed car chases? But now, you see, we got to have more riots for that trial. We got to have more. See, it just goes on and on. But if you're a good globalist police department, if you do everything the New World Order says and arrest their political enemies, become commissars under Strong Cities Initiative that Obama launched, directly directed by the UN, well, then you're in like Flynn. So that's coming up. Separately, ladies and gentlemen, where is it? Here it is. This is your last 3-day chance.
Don't do it.
To get the really highest quality liquid multivitamin mineral system with amino acids as well.
There's going to be riots and fires all over the city. Got it. Add pivot.
Yep.
Fun. You know, you work people up about, hey, this ain't the fun Christmas tree with cookies and milk. Separately, got to get these vitamins.
Hey, listen, don't turn around, Dan. Their commissar is in town.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we're in trouble.
So Alex has a story that he hits on a number of times throughout the show, and that is that Maxine Waters apparently told Jim Jordan to shut his mouth.
Yeah.
In seated in the chambers. It's a very uncongressional language.
I would have preferred she beat the shit out of him with a cane, because we've got one.
There is a precedent
we've
of that
got
happening,
one,
I
okay?
guess, right?
I think there's an even... Look, we've got one. You get to beat an anti-abolitionist to borderline to death in Congress. That's the rule.
I think Alex might have the wrong angle on
Uh-oh.
This.
Let me do this. I want to get into this Jim Jordan thing, and Maxine Waters telling him, shut up. In fact, let's go to the end first. Let's go to her telling him to shut up. And imagine if a white guy was telling a black lady, shut up.
That's like half of Alex's show.
Yeah, I was going to say, you are always telling black women to shut up.
It's
the most important thing to you.
Yeah, anytime there's some kind of social justice related activism.
Totally.
Tells people to, tells
just shut
women
up.
To shut
yeah,
up.
Yeah, just shut up. Can you imagine if there was some sort of football player who was blackballed from the league for speaking out very obvious truths that seem so obvious that no one should be even borderline punished for them? Mm. Imagine if a white guy told that guy to shut up.
We're gonna
people
get,
be furious.
We're going to get some flagrantly racist stuff about Kaepernick a little bit later.
Of course we are. Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't
funny,
we?
Funny you should bring him
while
up as
we're
an
here.
Example.
While we're here.
So back to COVID matters. Here's Alex saying some dumb shit.
And even a year ago, they admitted 94% of COVID deaths were something else. It's the same thing in England. It's the same scam everywhere. Because it was never really COVID, folks. It was pneumonia or the flu. So in 6%, it was an actual virus. In 94%, it was heart attack or cancer. But the hospitals code it as COVID to get the $53,000.
So this is just Alex misrepresenting how there was a figure that came out where it was like 6% of COVID-19 deaths didn't involve a person who had an underlying condition that might have contributed to the
sure,
death.
Sure, sure, sure.
Considering that things like obesity or smoking could be underlying conditions, this isn't surprising. Alex and his ilk have just used that stat incorrectly for a year to argue that the death numbers are artificial.
Right.
Now, I was thinking about this, and like, you know, that idea that the hospitals are in on a get-rich-quick scheme because there's a certain amount that they get paid out by Medicare, Medicaid, based on COVID-19 patients.
Yeah, that tremendously stupid idea about
right.
that. Yeah.
I was just thinking about it, and, like, does Alex think that those, like, hospitals don't get payments for other conditions? Like, does he think that, like, someone getting... Like, if they have, like, an aggressive cancer...
Sure.
...that they need treatment...
Do right.
You, does he think that... These
well,
programs don't also pay out.
What you're not understanding, and I don't know if you've been to a hospital in a while. They pay everything on a flat $100 fee.
Mm.
So if you've got cancer, you're taking all kinds of stuff, and they pay $100 for it.
It's been a while since I've been to a hospital. And
I know
I don't have cancer.
They switched it. It's super weird, but it's $100 for everything but COVID.
Yeah, it's one of these days. I'm actually gonna sit down and try and figure out like what other payouts are.
yeah.
So you're like, all right. Here we go.
Ah, let's do this.
But that may be needed for another day, because today we're going to get in to Operation Cyber Polygon.
Ooh, now you're excited.
I'm also lying. He doesn't bring it up
God
at all.
Damn it, Dan! You son of a bitch.
No, Alex doesn't bring up.
You always have to then, like, when you're excited and you get a letdown,
yeah.
You have to just pass it on to me.
Yeah, it is a little bit mean of me, and maybe I just want you to feel
we
that
gotta,
disappointment.
Yeah, no, we got to share in it. Yeah. We're a team, we're partners, we got to share in that disappointment.
So instead of getting into that, Alex just complains about things he imagined that Anthony Fauci said.
Sure.
You can play the clips. Once you're vaccinated, you can go out and not wear a mask and go to restaurants. That's Fauci. That's
is
what
it?
They all said worldwide. Now, oh, sorry, doesn't work. Because they've had you under their control for a year. They've doubled their wealth. They're taking over. They're not going to stop. They're bad people.
So this is mostly about defending Tucker Carlson about attacks that have been made against him for his segment that he had where he was talking about, like, hey, I was told that we could go back to normal once people were vaccinated.
Oh, okay. I thought it was talking about the white replacement one.
No.
We've moved on from that. Yeah. You can just get white replacement
He lets Harrison Smith defend that.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So I think people might have gotten the sense that things would immediately return to normal after a vaccine was released, but that's not what was being said by experts, including Dr. Fauci. This is a straw man position that the right-wing media types like Alex and Tucker have been using recently to argue against vaccination while pretending that they have some kind of a principled point. It's basically a child whining that their parent promised to buy them a pony if they got good grades when the parent said no such thing.
Yeah.
In December 2020, Fauci said, quote, let's say we get 75%, 80% of the population vaccinated. If we do that, if we do it efficiently through the second quarter of 2021, by the time we get to the end of the summer, i.e. the third quarter, we may actually have enough herd immunity protecting our society that when we get to the end of 2021, we can approach very much some degree of normality that is close to where we were before.
Right.
So that's what he was saying at the end of 2020.
No, at every point in time, they've said, even after you've been vaccinated, continue to wear a mask, not least of which to stop the spread, but also just to make it fine for people to wear masks outside.
In September, Fauci told Healthline, quote, we can be greatly helped by vaccines, but it's not vaccine alone. Let's assume that we get a reasonably effective vaccine, not measles vaccine where you have a 98% effective. I think that would be too much to ask for, but let's talk about 75-80% effective. Effective vaccine, which would be really good if we did that. If we did that and we ultimately got everyone who should be and could be vaccinated, I would think that together with not necessarily abruptly ending measures like masks and physical distancing, if we could get the majority of the community to adopt those health measures together with a reasonably effective vaccine, then we could get the level of infection down so low in the community that by the third quarter end of 2021, we could start thinking in terms of normal. Alex and his idiot friends don't live in reality. They've fabricated a fake one that adheres to the storylines that they want to tell and that they profit off of. Alex's story about the vaccine is that the globalists are trying to force it on everyone, so it's essential for that story to involve an explicit promise from the villains of the story that if everything will go back to normal just as soon as you take my evil vaccine.
Yeah.
That's not the actual messaging that people like Fauci have been engaging in, but it's how it feels to Alex, because that's the story that he tells for a living.
Yep.
You can see by the false portrayals.
Yeah.
Silly.
What a dick.
Yeah. So I think it's important to recognize a few things. One of them is that I'm willing to address and talk about, like, factual issues like, you know, cyber polygon.
Sure.
If you were to bring it
up. Yeah.
Or these other big Operation Lockstep nonsense.
Right. SPARS.
SPARS, sure. That was recent.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to engage in those things. But I will also say that anybody who wants to take Alex Jones as someone who is a good purveyor of information will also have to explain this kind of thing.
And I know God's real. I'm going to leave it at that. I have always had a connection to God. I was born again when I was probably about 8, 9 years old. But I have been having experiences now that I'm going to keep private. But I'm going to tell you are biblical. You hear about the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, and all the rest of that? I am now routinely having experiences that now I would be pleased to be crucified upside down or tortured for 5 years for this, okay? I mean, I can just flip a switch in my brain now and go right to Valhalla. And so I am transcending these Satanists, and I am so thankful to God because I've been in a lot of pain and really upset over them and really taking it on and getting very depressed. And I just prayed to God the last few months to take the worry away, and I'll fight harder than ever. And I've done that, and now I am really now experiencing the Holy Ghost. And it is it's so good. Oh, wow. I mean, we're talking 50 times what I ever experienced. Because, I mean, you start crying getting near God and close to the door, but, man, I've gone in the door now. And, I mean, I'll tell you part of it. I mean,
I thought you were going to keep it private.
Man, I have these dreams now that are just intense ecstasy, and I'm in heaven, and trying to describe the beauty of it and the purity of it and the level of this is just like you're in God's mind.
It's all good and well to have like religious beliefs and stuff.
Sure.
It's not normal to believe that you're having visions of being in heaven when you dream.
Everyone, I am waking up having just been sucked off by an angel. Are you shitting me? This is ecstasy. I thought women were great.
This is lunatic level behavior.
Archangel Michael visits me at night and gives me handies.
I've been in the God's mind.
It turns out all angels are gay, by the way. Now,
I think that this is silly, and I think this is stupid.
Yeah.
And anybody who wants to take Alex as any kind of sincere good faith actor in the sense of like the conversation about ideas, let's talk about this being the way he sees himself now. But even that's kind of, you know, maybe a personal attack and what have you.
Well, all I heard him say was, I am having good dreams lately.
Sure.
So that's nice.
But he put so much more import on it than just someone saying, I've had good dreams.
A little bit.
And then the other thing about it that I think is much more functional and grounded is Alex says at the beginning that he was born again at 8 or 9 when we know that he was a Satanist.
Yep.
To his teens.
When you were born again, was at 8 or 9, had you already paid for the abortions, or would that come later?
Yeah, is this before or after the Satanists tried to lure you and you were a functional Satanist?
Listen,
until you
I was
were
a
18.
Satanist for a while. I was born again at 8 or 9.
Yeah.
I was a Satanist at look, if you're not a Satanist when you're young,
you have no heart.
Yeah.
The problem with stories like this that are obviously fucking artificial and not true and played up for the presentation of this, the person that Alex wants the people to see him as, is you can't keep it straight. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
No.
His timeline is ridiculous. So, yeah, he was born again at 8 and then went to the devil for a little while and then came back. I don't know.
That's why all mythologies wound up in books, because they were like, I'm telling you, I think Zeus did it this way. And somebody else is like, nah, Zeus is crazy, man.
Yeah.
Eventually, you got to put it in a book, otherwise
nobody's
going to
agree. Oral tradition has a way of changing stories a little bit over time because of the different ways the different tellers would tell stories.
You got it.
So this goes on. Alex keeps talking like a deranged lunatic. Yeah, yeah. Well, we have different words.
Well, that's fair.
And it is just, I mean, last night, man, I woke up really upset about 2 a.m. and everything, and like really upset about the world and really upset. And I said, God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to go back to sleep. Please help me. And man, it was just unbelievable. There's no way to describe this. And I've never seen any of this in art and literature. Because a lot of stuff I've seen, I've seen in movies and culture. Other humans have seen that archetype. I'm seeing stuff that has never been seen on this planet. And you can say, oh, your mind created that. Well, then, wow, that's quite a mind. But I'm just telling the Satanists, you are missing out. You have no idea what you're missing out on. I just, it's unbelievable. All right, I'm getting metaphysical, and I'm going to stop right there. All I'm saying is I want to stay on air. I need the temporal funds to do this, and we spend a lot of money running this operation. I pay the crew pretty good, and I don't want to have to do a lot of things here. I don't want to cut back. I want to expand. So go to InfoWarsStore.com.
That's the end of his long rant about the God giving him visions and stuff.
It's like, Satanists have no concept of what it's like. So what I'm going to do is immediately take the Lord's name in vain and ask for your temporal money. I am going to tell you all about how great the Lord is.
And how I'm special and have visions inside God's eye. And when you go to bed, you just maybe have a memory that you replay in your head. No, I go to heaven.
Oh, absolutely. And in
and
heaven,
I need money.
And then I come back down and I break commandments left and right because I'm so good.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Yeah.
Also, I love the idea that he's seen things that have never been seen on Earth. I want to know what those things are. That's like a Lovecraftian description of something. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
Art and literature does not contain these archetypes.
I get what you're saying, but also, you know, describe what it looked like.
Does not belong in Euclidean geometry.
I imagine if he described what it looked like, I could probably find some literature or art.
Yeah, I think he saw an angle that looked acute, but acted as if it was obtuse.
I looked at the standard model, and it turns out there are more particles.
So Alex gets into talking about COVID and how it's a globalist attack, right? Of course.
Sure.
You know, one of the things I really appreciate about Alex is that, like, he's a man with good priorities.
Sure.
And he knows what, you know, like, if you're going down a track and something more important comes up,
you buy a tank.
Kind of got to go for it.
Italian lawmaker calls for the arrest of creepy Bill Gates in charges of crimes against humanity. And more scientists, more and more lawyers are coming out and saying that's what this is a medical, weaponized globalist takeover. And the sooner we rake up the horror, and that our acquiescence to tyranny encouraged these monsters to launch this, the sooner we're able to stop it. That's coming up. But Brian Stelter is one of the nastiest people on Earth, and he's a liar.
What?
He's an anti-American. He's a defamer. He's somebody that goes around and gets people deplatformed, like myself. He literally stalked 20-plus advertisers and ran them off by threatening to do pieces on them and call them white supremacist. He's a terrorist.
Sure.
Economic terrorist. And what he is a sack of garbage who acts all powerful and manly. He is America's enemy.
Okay. All right. Thought we were going to talk about COVID. Turns out you're mad at Stelter.
I do appreciate that of all people, Brian Stelter is our big bad today.
You know, like, it's super weird to me that, like, you have such a, like, a hatred towards, like, Connor Friedersdorf.
Mm-hmm.
You complain about him so much less than Alex does about Brian Stelter.
I haven't talked about Friedersdorf in a year.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm Frieders free. Yeah, okay, yeah. That's what I do.
Alex needs to take some cues from you and let it
just
go.
Just let it go. You don't need to read it.
You don't need to be so mad at Stelter. Although, if you believe Alex,
yes,
then his anger and hatred at Stelter is actually paid some dividends.
Ooh. If anything was ever an enemy of the country, it's Brian Stelter. And I can tell you, my rant from 4 years ago, calling him enemy of the people, I didn't know this, but a certain national talk show host and others sent it around everybody, and Trump got it, I recently learned, and that's where enemy of the people came from. So I am kind of the unofficial speechwriter, I guess, at some level for a lot of folks, which I'm very honored to do.
Okay. So Trump took enemy of the people from Alex when he was talking about the press.
Great. Look, a phrase like that has never before been uttered in literature or in any kind
of archetypes.
Art. Nothing. That is brand new, straight from Alex's mouth to Trump's ears.
I don't believe this, first of all.
Nope.
But second of all, if true, not something necessarily brag-worthy. That's kind of a pretty bad thing.
No, I gave him a phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Alex is complaining here about some stuff.
Sure.
And Mike down for this, because I actually think that this is really hilarious. This is one of the funnier things I've heard in a while.
I know the average man's watching baseball with his buddies, eating pizza and drinking beer at a bar tonight. And that sounds great to me, too, okay? In fact, if we weren't in so much trouble, I'd be buying season tickets to baseball and football and the NBA. I love it all. I like basketball. I like boxing. I like the Olympics. Man, I'd be happier than a pig, and you know what, if this wasn't. But I can't do it because the whole thing's coming down on us. So what I'm doing at night is reading the UN documents.
So here are the reasons I find this hilarious. The first is that Alex constantly pretends that he hates sports because it's just the media's way of pacifying men's instinct towards conflict and battle.
I was going to say, that blew me away. I was like, you hate sports.
He gives a speech about it every single Super Bowl Sunday.
Everyone.
It's ridiculous.
Everyone.
The second thing that's really funny is how long it took Alex to come up with UN documents.
Yeah.
What is it that I stay up late reading?
I am reading.
Fuck. Finally, this is hilarious because this entire show is based on the idea that nothing is ever going back to normal. And yet here, Alex is decrying how the average man is watching sports at a bar with their friends, which Alex can't do because he's too busy with UN documents. Should the average people he's mad at not be able to go to a bar and watch sports because of Fauci's dictatorship?
See, what it is the government has you. They've been keeping you inside for a year, and they want to keep you inside for a year. Now, obviously, everybody's out and about tonight.
Yeah, they have a great time.
Everybody's having a great old time.
Yeah. This might sound kind of like nitpicking, but it's really more something that I want to use as a demonstration about how deeply seated Alex's narcissism is. His presentation of himself as a superior person because he fights imaginary globalists is more important to him than staying consistent with his ideas that people can't do normal things like go to bars with their friends anymore.
Yeah.
It's you see the priorities there.
Yeah, when anything gets in the way of Alex saying he's exceptional, it is out of the way as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Alex will give up on any narrative for telling you how great he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Tucker Carlson is coming under fire from Chelsea Clinton about these vaccine comments.
Sure.
And Alex does the whole, like, if you're vaccinated, why should you care if I get vaccinated routine,
right,
which is
right.
Very dumb, but, you know, it works on folks.
Yeah.
So he's doing that. He's going through this. And then he remembers the George Carlin bit.
Oh, no.
And this is one of his suggestions.
Bring Pattison to deliver it.
There's actually studies that swimming in swamps in the area you live in, and that means in sewage. Is that what do you think a swamp is? It's where the bears and the bees and the buffalo and the deer and the bobcats are and the fish. That's the flora. That's the inoculation is Mother Earth.
Don't swim in sewage. This is not good advice.
All right.
This is not revolutionary.
Okay.
You should not, instead of getting vaccinated, it's not a good idea just to jump
What you want to do, all right, you get this little cocktail, you put some Ebola in it,
right.
You're immune to Ebola.
Makes
sense.
I shouldn't expect much more from somebody who thinks Mike Adams is a good doctor.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't jump into sewage tanks.
No.
It's not good for you.
And swamps are an ecosystem, not just a toilet.
Right. There is that as well.
There's more than just the toilet of swamps.
Yeah. Yeah. Swamp thing wasn't poop thing.
Shit thing.
So this next clip is a little bit rough and it's a little offensive. Alex has found a clip from a protest. I don't really know what all the circumstances are in it. But from what I can tell from the limited amount of context that's in the clip, it appears that some organizer at a protest took issue with some of the behavior of one of the white participants of the protest.
Sure.
That was probably not in line with what the people who were doing the protest wanted to be how things were presented.
Look, there's a reason people teach you how to protest at these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a way. Yeah.
And it, you know, it can be disrespectful to the larger point of the protest if people are working across purposes.
Yeah.
And that's what it seems like is going on in this video.
Yeah.
Alex takes this and gets wildly racist.
I don't hate white people because there's some racist white people. I don't hate black people because there's some racist black people. I judge people according to what they do, who they are. That's common sense, like Martin Luther King said. That's why America believed in what he said, because it was true. And brotherly love that Christ talked about. But I have dozens of videos just today of whites being shot, stabbed, beat up because they're white, told you're not welcome here because you're white. And the hatred in these young black people's faces is palpable. But I notice most of the time, and I've looked at some studies on this, they're not even Africans, but where they're like, you know, 100% African.
Oh, my God.
They're usually mulatto. No. They're usually part white. And now we learn, like Kaepernick and others, their parents are white liberals and have basically done this to them. I keep going, like, why is it always white-skinned black folks that are being really anti-white? There's some really black folks that are doing this. And it's because they have white parents. They're either adopted or, you know, one of the parents is white. And the left has done this. This is their communist revolution hidden behind black people so they can do this and claim it's for black people's empowerment.
So that's pretty offensive just on the surface level, and I don't feel like, you know, we need to break down exactly why that's incredibly fucked up.
I mean, if you want me to just scream for about 15 sure. straight minutes, yeah.
I also think that, you know, if people who've been listening to our show for a while, they recognize this isn't necessarily an uncommon sentiment for
right.
Alex to express,
right.
despite it being horrible.
I mean, it's, yeah, if this were the first time that we heard him say that, well, go back and listen to the first times yeah. that we've heard him say stuff like that.
Jordan started barking and dove out my window.
Yeah.
So the reason I pulled this clip is because the mentality that Alex is espousing, that these people who he's determined are not really black enough are being used to push a communist agenda to attack white people, is exactly, and I mean exactly, the argument that his spiritual predecessors like Gary Allen made when they opposed the civil rights movement.
Yep.
Allen's book, Communist Revolution in the Streets, lays out this mentality, and it's clear that Alex subscribes to this explanation of any kind of social justice related activism. That's not interesting on its own. Alex is a dumb bigot, but what's fascinating is how Alex isn't stupid enough to argue against the civil rights movement, because he knows that he couldn't back up that kind of claim, and it looks a little bit too transparently bigoted through present day eyes.
Yeah, that's what I was saying a week ago or whatever, is like, you can measure the same ideology being forced ever so slowly to be like, fine, you won on civil rights. Fine, we don't get slaves anymore. Fine, I'm still going to say the same shit, though. I'm going to do it.
The book Communist Revolution in the Streets is mostly an attack on Martin Luther King Jr., so forgive me if I think it's a little bit funny for Alex to signal some imaginary support for King's ideas while using the exact same playbook his heroes used to attempt to discredit and demonize King himself while he was alive.
Yeah.
This is bullshit, but it's important to recognize this. When Alex has glimmers like that, there is severe racism, but it's also these same ideas that have been bubbling under these hard right forces that were in favor of segregation. They were against the entirety of the civil rights movement.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And it's that same mentality that still underpins Alex, but he's smart enough to know that he would be called some horrible accurate names if he argued like that.
But even then, it goes all the way back to fucking slavery. It goes all the way back to being like, oh, well, see, whenever you allow miscegenation, the ones who are more white are more likely to cause... And it's just fucking... It's slavery. Sure. It's the same shit.
Yeah, there's that sort of influence, and then this other influence that comes in. Yeah, it's all just very... Very shocking and horrible. Anyway, that's, you know, who Alex is.
Yeah. He's shocking and horrible
and
a bigot.
It's not necessarily news, but it's important to recognize
he's
these things.
He's a shocking, horrible bigot.
Yeah. Also, he's been in God's mind.
Hey, I wonder if it's all white in God's mind.
I bet it is.
I think it might be, Dan.
So, you might notice from watching Alex's show that all of his guests are complete lunatics who believe mostly the same things he does and say, not only that, but Alex, hey, aren't you great?
And they like to flatter him, yeah.
You love to.
Love to flatter him. That's how you win.
And you might think, like, why doesn't he have other guests on the show?
Well, for many reasons.
Well, I had a lot of great guests on the show. We invite communists and globalists on, they won't come on, but everybody we have on regularly are smart. But right up there at the top is Robert Barnes, great lawyer.
Barnes, so smart. Yeah, so commies and globalists have been invited, but the RSVP comes back not attending.
Yeah. You know,
I believe that.
I don't know. I've been saying good work, Barnes, very dismissively, but now that I know Pat has tried stand up, he might be the dumber lawyer at this point.
Yeah, it's
neck and neck. Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. Trying stand-up comedy really lowers your...
Yeah. You know what's interesting is, like, I do think that Alex does invite some people on. Like, I don't know when lately there's been anybody who would be an interesting booking.
Sure.
But, you know, you have the people like David Rothschild or, Weatherman?
Yeah. The moment you ask me for a pull, it's gone. I could have pulled it 2 seconds ago.
Yeah.
Bill.
Bel Ayers.
Yes.
There are those interviews that have happened, and, like, Alex comes out looking terrible at
it. Oh, yeah.
And so, like, yeah, I guess maybe in the past he would have put out more feelers for globalists and commies in his definitions, but they don't go well. Those interviews are embarrassing.
No, and you can't do them now, because if somebody comes in and he starts getting religious, boy, it's going to get bad.
Yeah, imagine if you had David Rothschild on now and Alex is just screaming about the fucking devil.
The real fucking devil. I mean, Bel Ayers would be like, whoa, and then just leave. You're a Satanist. You're the devil. I am with God. I've seen his mind. Oh,
okay.
Click.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
So Barnes thinks that the Chauvin trial is a show trial.
Nice.
And he has a reason.
Oh, he's starting to stay.
Why are you saying this is such a fraud, and where do you see it going?
Two parts. One is that Chauvin had agreed to plead guilty to third-degree murder before the trial. And so that put him in jail potentially for 20 years. And it was Bill Barr who blew it up. And so if they were serious about getting an outcome that could meet the facts, they already had that in the bag, and they chose not to. So this is very much a Soviet-style show trial, simply because they refused to do a reasonable plea deal. And the trial is for public consumption almost entirely.
So Derek Chauvin had offered to plead guilty to third-degree murder, and William Barr did reject that. But the details of the situation aren't being captured by super lawyer Robert Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
One of the primary issues is that, according to an ABC News article, Chauvin, quote, asked to serve his time in a federal prison and wanted assurances that he wouldn't face federal civil rights charges. Because he was asking for federal guarantees, the deal needed to be approved by the Department of Justice. But Barr, quote, wanted to allow state prosecutors to make their own decisions about how to proceed. Seems like that state autonomy thing Alex and his buddies yell about all the time, being put into action.
Yeah, and also Barr being like, I don't want to touch this.
Yeah.
You guys deal with it.
Also, the fact that Chauvin was willing to plead to third-degree murder is probably not a great sign.
No, if you say he's willing to plead to third-degree murder...
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you want to then defend the murder charge instead of being like, the whole trial's illegitimate?
Also, like, the way that he's presenting this, it's like, it's a show trial because they didn't accept what is a reasonable plea. And that's your determination, Barnes.
Yeah.
You have determined that this is what would be a reasonable plea. That's not necessarily what the prosecution believes or the state. So
yeah, justice doesn't exist unless it's equally applied. So that's it.
So the real issue, though, is that this trial is just happening because it's a demonstration that the left wants to put on, that they can do whatever they want.
Sure.
So let me ask you this. We got a minute to break. What is the left looking for? Just rubber stamp what they want? Or
I think the left wants him hung. The left wants him legally lynched. And the left wants to show they can use and weaponize the prosecutorial process to validate and vindicate their media narratives, to help push a particular politicized agenda.
Sure, so like anybody they want burned, they can burn.
Exactly. That's the point. To show this is what
y'all
we
need
can
woke
do
insurance.
When we can do it anytime we want, any place we want, even to a police officer.
I think that there's other issues. Like, a guy died.
Well, there's that.
I don't think it's anyone anytime. I think there's specific circumstances that are...
I would imagine that in this case, committing a murder is probably more important For the left.
Well, I mean, look,
committed a murder. We want to commit a murder.
They can burn anybody they want at any point.
Anybody
no big
they
deal.
Want. As long as you murder somebody, we can burn the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Anybody who murders, even cops.
As long as there's a body, they can just jam you
up. Just lie about how you murdered somebody. You know.
So, you know, we got on the right. We have a lot of groups, people like the Oath Keepers, people like the Proud Boys.
Sure, sure.
Certainly.
Sure.
But
Brian Stelter is a terrorist.
Definitely.
Yes.
But you have these groups, and there's been, you know, pretty well documented interaction between them and law enforcement.
Sure.
Some overlap,
sure.
Even.
Yeah.
But Robert Barnes wants you to know that people like Antifa, they are actually the Nazi brown shirts.
That sounds right.
They want to triangulate BLM, Antifa, and the FBI and use the military on the people. Don't they get that'll cause an internal civil war guaranteed?
Well, the real model they're looking at is not so much the communist Soviet model, but is the fascist model of the 1930s.
Sure.
So, exactly. They want to nod to the long knives. They want to, yeah.
Yep. You have your paramilitary supporters that are outside of the governmental structure that can do things that you can't do, that you can use as a pretext and a predicate to do what you want to do. You create false flags events, you stage events, or you exaggerate events. I mean, the amazing, the January 6th event is basically being treated like the Reichstag fire. So it's the same, except there was less violence and less damage.
You know who the only person I've heard call that the Reichstag fire? Fucking Alex Jones.
Yeah, you would think.
Alex spent like a week talking about inaccurate information about Hitler's rise to power and the Reichstag fire and how it was the January 6th storming of the Capitol. Yeah. They were the same thing. Now Barnes is trying to say that the left is doing that.
That's what the left
fucking
does.
Fucking nonsense.
That's what we do, Dan.
So stupid.
That's what the left does.
I have very little patience for this direct pretending that that's not his entire strategy.
Yeah, you know, it is so fucked up that they apply to us the characteristics that most define their thought process,
mm-hmm.
and then describe that thought process as disgusting. So it's like, hey, if they did do what we were doing, we would really hate them. Because
mm-hmm.
it's evil.
Yeah.
What they're doing that sounds like what we're doing and how we think,
mm-hmm.
we'd be pissed.
Totally.
If they did the things that we think.
Now let's interview Stuart Rhodes.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get the people who decided to overthrow the Capitol.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, there have been some unfortunate things that I've seen popping up about the idea of like an America First caucus.
Sure.
Certainly there's no historical precedent of this being shit.
Just call yourselves the Know Nothing Party and never read history.
It's
just do it. Fine.
It's a little much.
You want a bunch of white men running around rioting and oppressing people. You're the Know Nothings. Let's go.
It's a little bit frustrating,
yeah.
and scary, and I hope that it fizzles.
It'd be nice.
But, you know, Alex is on that tip. He's on the vanguard of America First.
Sure. He also knows nothing.
So is Robert Barnes, man. These are America First kind of guys.
That's what caused Russians in the early 60s to defect to us, because they saw Khrushchev acting like a maniac. Our leaders are acting worse than Khrushchev right now.
By far, by a long mile. In other words, Putin looks completely reasonable compared to the way Biden is behaving. Putin's not changing his mind every other day.
He's cutting defense budgets.
As Navalny
he's
dies.
For detente.
Great. Oh, exactly.
Yeah, so they're getting into some pretty serious, like, Putin's the best.
As Navalny is literally starved to death, and his body is falling apart and shutting down in prison, the main political rival of President Putin is being murdered by President Putin as we speak.
To be fair, he's been consistent on that front.
He's really been consistent. It's kind of a thing.
Yeah, America First, but also Putin's much better than our leaders.
Putin's much better than our leaders in America First.
Yeah, America First.
Yep.
And Alex, I would take this more seriously and actually discuss some of the issues surrounding maybe international relations.
Sure, sure, sure.
But like, I don't feel like Alex's positions deserve the respect of being taken seriously. I mean, listen to this nonsense.
And by the way, I don't even respect a lot of generals and a lot of top people. Some I do, but at least they've been like in 20 tours and combat and killed people. It's all a bunch of weird Harvard women want to have war with Putin because they're going to show a man. It doesn't even make sense. It's insane. It's like putting a woman in the ring with Mike Tyson in 1989.
It's kind of a silly way he's trying to formulate this thing, or it's like, yes, these women who have feminism run amok, and that's why they're mad at Putin, because he's too much of a man.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
I despise educated women leading a military. What I want is bloodthirsty murderers who went over to a different country on a lie and killed people for no reason. That's who should be running things, Dan.
Sure, yeah. Sure. And if Alex is going to insist on disseminating this kind of an idea, I found myself having a very similar response to a lot of stuff. And this episode's a little bit shorter because, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I was like, nope.
Yeah, yeah, that's a big nope.
And that's one of them.
That's a big nope.
Nope.
Yeah.
And I was kind of expecting that we were going to get into fucking cyber polygon.
I know. It was never going to happen.
Yeah, it infuriates me.
It was never going to happen.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Mal, why am I apologizing to you?
That's a good question.
Anyway, Alex has some more things to say. This is the last clip. Him and Barnes are having a little discussion about how great Russia is.
Sure.
And Putin.
Deeply nationalistic country, deeply proud of their country. That's who Putin really is. He's Russia's version of Trump. That's why the deep state hates him. And it's just insane. We should be aligning with Russia on key foreign policy.
I agree, and I feel the danger for my family, and it pisses me off, Barnes. That
what
we're literally
key foreign
having
policies?
Some type of pissing contest with these weird liberals, because Putin's Christian and Russia's Christian now, so they see it like the Midwest. They want to blow it up.
This is all just like essentially projecting identity politics onto anybody who has like a critique of Putin.
Yep.
Like, it's they hate him because he's Christian, or it's just weird women who think he's too much of a man.
Yeah.
And it happens to be all of the identity signifiers that Alex has. So he feels himself under attack when people criticize Putin. And again, it's just like a rank level of narcissism. It's not geopolitical analysis. It's not meaningful in any way. It's just identifies, feels himself.
Yeah, I can't think of any reason why people would be mad at what is functionally the richest man in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even if you're just Alex and you're like, hey, I don't believe in dynastic rulers.
Sure, yeah.
I'm into democracy.
I hate dictators, and I definitely don't want anybody to rule over a country for, let's say, more than two terms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like he should have just an elementary problem there, but he doesn't.
Nope.
And you know, I don't know. I think that if you look at it realistically, I think that what it mostly is Alex sees a lot of his identity mirrored in Putin.
Yeah.
A lot of those things that are the surface level, I'm a white male Christian.
Yeah.
And I think that he sees a strong person there that he lacks that as someone to follow.
Yeah,
that's
performative masculinity is what he's really stoked about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not to say that he's going to, like, you know, become Putin's number one guy.
No, I doubt that.
It's just a continuation of these long-standing trends that he's had. It was pretty overt, though, like just the love fest of these America firsters.
Yeah, it's hard to go back and see the vehemence with which he despises Putin and then get to the present day where it's like, Putin's probably the best thing we've got, second, of course, to our God King Trump.
Well, but he's Russia's Trump.
Well, yeah. So I guess he's the God King there, and I wish we had him God Kinging us, America first.
Yep. It feels that way a little bit.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yep.
Anyway, Jordan, this episode's a little bit shorter, and I apologize, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Indeed.
For another episode in the near future.
That's the plan.
And we'll see where the wind blows us. We may be back in the past.
Let's hope for Cyber Polygon.
Fingers crossed. I've got it open on my screen right here.
I was going to say, you've got that locked and loaded for sure.
Anyway, we'll be back. But until then, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at knowledge_fight. Go to bed, Jordan.
We're also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. And if you could, please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out people still protesting, still fighting.
Sure. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundis. I'm the juiciest ice cube.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.